Good morning, Fairplane Presbyterian Church, and a warm welcome to everyone joining on live stream or CD this morning, which is, well, everyone. After the pandemic is over, if you can join us at 210 West Napier Avenue in Benton Harbor, we'd be delighted to welcome you. Our captions don't seem to be working this morning. I'm not sure why. They were working fine last night, and now they're not. So, my apologies. Can you pass me my clicker, honey? My clicker? Thanks. Few announcements. If you have prayer requests to send in, text or leave a voicemail at 269-332-1118, and I would recommend you doing that as soon as possible because there's a slight delay between when I'm talking to you and when you receive it. Bill Cundiff says it's about 30 seconds to a minute or so. So that being the case, you'll need to send that in before we get through joys and concerns. Ernie Lewis has a update about the crop walk. It's going to be virtual this year. People will still be able to walk. If you have any questions, call Ernie, 269-930-3677, or email him at the email address on the screen or in the bulletin. Clickety. Oh, I don't have a clicker. Thanks. Let's see. Virtual crop walk. I spent a lot of time every week putting videos together, and Session has graciously proposed an alternative order of worship while we're in lockdown to make my life a little easier, and I'm very grateful to them for that. So you may notice there's a few slight changes in your bulletin today. Any other announcements? I'm gonna check my phone for any possible announcements that may have come in. And seeing none, I'll invite you to please join Pete Wendell in the call to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Praise God, who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, yet lives forevermore. Praise the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us and comforts us in our losses. Let us worship God.
Holy, holy, holy.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. O God, we confess that our hearts are slow to believe, and that we so often miss the holy for the mundane in which we find it, a walk, a conversation, the breaking of bread, and a prayer. Forgive our blindness, glorious God, and open our eyes anew to the marvels that surround us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The two disciples on the road to Emmaus said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us? The Lord has risen indeed. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. We are reconciled to God and we are reconciled to one another. Alleluia. Amen."
Our first reading this morning is from Judges, chapter 6, verse 11 through 24. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You can follow along using the link above, the video, or on your screen. Listen for the word of the Lord. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrezite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior.' Gideon answered him, 'But sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where all his wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, "Did the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you.' He responded, 'But sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor with you, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Do not depart from here until I come to you, and bring out my present, and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will stay until your return.' So Gideon went into his house, and prepared a kid, and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot, and brought them to him under the oak, and presented them. The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and unleavened cakes, and put them on this rock, and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, 'Help me, Lord God, for I have seen the angels of the Lord face to face.' But the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die.' Then Gideon built an altar there to God, and called it 'The Lord is Peace.' To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abrezites." The word of the Lord.
As little children, we would dream of Christmas morn, and all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find, but we never realized a baby born one blessed night. Yet was the greatest gift of our lives. We were the
Listen for the gospel of the Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" I love that. They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we've heard your word. Now let it sink into our hearts and grow up into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This thing that's happened in this story where Jesus shows up and they don't recognize who he is, this happens all the time in the Bible. Happens all the time. Obviously, it happens in this story. Their eyes were open. They're like, they've spent all this time with Jesus, and all of a sudden their eyes are opened and he's gone. But that happens throughout the Bible. That's why I chose the Judges passage for Pete to read. We've got this guy named Gideon, and his country is occupied by a foreign power, and people are just coming in and taking all of their stuff, and he's I think it's threshing wheat in a wine press, which is not really where you do that kind of thing, but you have to do it to hide out of sight where the Midianites won't find you. So he's already hiding, and the angel of the Lord appears to him and gives him all of these instructions. And he's like, "I think you've picked the wrong person. I'm not the person that you want for this job. I'm the bottom of the bottom, and my tribe is the least, and I'm the least in my clan, which is the least in my tribe." And the angel says, "No, you're the one I want." And so he brings this offering, and all of a sudden, the angel touches it with his staff, and boom, it's gone. And he goes, "Oh my word, this is unbelievable. I see what's happening now. I just got a message. I need to double check and make sure that everything's working." That was a prayer request. Okay, so, but this is everywhere in the Bible, this thing where people don't recognize what they're in the presence of until it's gone, or until it's almost too late. You've got Balaam, and there's an angel standing in the roadway, and he doesn't see it, but his donkey sees it, which is kind of ironic and hilarious. This is everywhere in the Bible, but it's also, there's a line where Jacob says he was sleeping in a place, and he wakes up and says, "Surely this is the house of God, and I didn't know it." This is just how we are. There's a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning called Aurora Leigh. I read part of it. It's a massively long poem, but I read the part that this section's from, and it was just mind-blowing and amazing. But this line is the one I keep seeing everywhere. It's, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." I love that. Or there's another song called "Holy as a Day Is Spent" by Carrie Newcomer, where she's finding the sacred in the mundane. It's called, there's this line, "Holy is the dish and drain, the soap and sink, and the cup and plate, and the warm wool socks and cold white tile." She's finding the sacred in the daily, in the everyday. And there's a line she calls "Hymns of Geese." Can you imagine "Hymns of Geese"? Can you imagine seeing that? I love that. And now I do see it, because every time I see the geese, I go, "Oh, geese singing hymns." or Holy the Familiar Room, Quiet Moments. Folding sheets like folding hands to pray as only laundry can. I gotta confess, I haven't prayed while folding laundry. That's not a thing I've done, at least not very much. But there's this powerful recognition that there's something sacred happening in the everyday of what we're doing. That's right. And this line that I've used before, I'm sure some of you probably heard it before. The line from the play Our Town. Emily, this girl named Emily, has died, but she gets an opportunity to go back and see the town that she grew up in. And all of a sudden, all the beautiful things that have happened in life that she never noticed before. And there's this moment where she talks to the stage manager and she says, "I can't go on. It goes so fast. We don't have time to look at one another. I didn't realize. So all that was going on and we never noticed. Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it? Every minute?" And the stage manager says, "No. No, the saints and poets, maybe they do some." I love that. And occasionally I've fancied myself a poet, so sometimes I'll be able to see things. Like, quite a few years ago, I was in a restaurant with a group of people from the young adult group at my church, and everybody was taking pictures, and this girl was sitting next to me, and we were talking, and she was like, "Why are they taking all these pictures?" And I was like, "Maybe it's because they realize that there's something really powerful and beautiful going on here, that we're just sitting around here having lunch. That's probably why they're taking pictures, because there's something more going on here than meets the eye, and they can sense that, and they want to take a picture and capture that moment." Which brings us to today. We're in a pandemic, a sort of a mass trauma, and we're all experiencing that differently. Some of us are unable to go out. Some of us have to go out and try, because we're essential workers, and some of us would do anything to get out. Some would do anything to stay home. But I think one thing that might help us in that is if we just take time to catch our collective breaths and see the beauty and the holy in the world around us. So I want to invite us to do that, to just maybe every day take a little time to try to see our world, even if it's just inside the house, to listen for the holy. And a few ideas of how we might do that. Read poetry. If you can find some poetry, read some poetry. Or, God forbid, the Bible. Some people may struggle to read the Bible and find the holy in that, and that's okay. Or write poetry. Sometimes you can just even write free verse, just like Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem that I read earlier. That's not a, it doesn't rhyme or anything. It's just lines. Or journal. Just write something. Or if you can't write something, maybe, I had that on there. Oh, great. Thank you. Meditate. If writing's difficult physically for you, or it's just difficult mentally for you, you could just ponder about what you're seeing in the world. Like, looking out the window, you can see green grass. The grass is actually green. It's not brown like it so often is in Michigan. Or flowers, or things like that. Or the sky's not quite blue out there yet. Listen to music. What? But it is sunny out there. That's right. Kristen told me it's sunny. She's right. Or listen to music. Turn off the TV news. That is not good for your soul. Okay? TV news is not good for your soul. You might need it in reasonable amounts. You do need it in reasonable amounts. But turn it off. That stuff's not good for your soul. Look in the story of the road to Emmaus. They're walking. The disciples are talking about the news, and Jesus interrupts them talking about the news, and he starts talking instead about what God is up to. Did you catch that? Jesus interrupts them talking about the news and says, "What are you guys talking about?" And then he sort of reinterprets the news through the lens of what God is doing. So another thing you might want to do is take pictures. not like mindlessly snap, 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 but let when you're out in the world or even in your house and you look out your window, if you've got access to a camera or a camera on your smartphone, you can just see something and go, wow, that's amazing. I need a picture of that. Maybe look at it for a minute too. But like I was out running the other day and can you give me my clicky? Thanks. I was out running the other day and I saw this. Can you blow that up? Look at that. It was almost sunset and I was just running down the street and whew, took my breath away. And I was like, okay, I need to stop running. Okay, bring me back. And he's like, I need to stop running and take a picture of this. Another one of, oh, sorry, no, I wanted that back. Clicky. Another practice we might do for recognizing the holy in our lives is just stop. Just stop. Like, on Mondays are my day to stop and just not do the things. I'm not working on a sermon, I'm not working on video editing or anything, and it drives me crazy sometimes, but I really, really need it. I turn off Facebook, social media, and just try to be here. Speaking of stopping, one of the things that Ryan has been doing, because I guess we've told him to stop doing some things sometimes, is he'll just be like, Daddy, stop! And I'll look at him, I'll be like, Ryan, I'm not doing anything. What do you want me to stop? And he's just like, Daddy, stop! I was like, okay. But last night when we put him to bed, he's been really irritated about the idea of going to bed. But last night when we put him to bed, he was standing at the gate by his room just crying. And he went, Daddy, stop! And I was like, I'm not. And then I realized, okay, maybe I do actually need to stop. So I crouched down and I looked him straight in the eyes and I just, I look at my kid's face and I see the tears streaming down his face and he is so sad, mostly because he doesn't want to go to bed. But he's just, I looked at him and I remembered being a little kid myself and thinking that my dad wasn't seeing me. So I took a minute to look at this little person who is just so distraught. And I finally said, I understand you're upset because you don't want to go to bed, but it is time to go to bed. But I want to give myself a little bit of credit for looking at him and for stopping and seeing what was going on. And to be fair, there's a lot of busyness. Like, I'm really busy. And I tell that story because there's a lot of times when he's like, Daddy, stop! And I don't stop. And I want to try to work on paying attention to the Daddy, stop! And just stop and pay attention to him. But also, stop and look at the world outside your window, if you can see it, as we ever so slowly creep on this 47th day of March into May. Another one is to talk to someone. Pay attention if there's a burning in your heart. And finally, be patient with yourselves. If you just can't right now, that's fine. We're all going through this mass trauma in one way or another. And look at this story of Emmaus. These two disciples who are, they've experienced this mass trauma. Jesus has died. This their friend, their rabbi has died. And then he appears next to them. And because, I think maybe it's because they're so traumatized, they can't recognize him. Like, maybe if it was just some other day before all of this had happened, maybe they would have immediately picked that up. So go easy on yourselves if you have a hard time doing any of these things or all of these things. Jesus calls them foolish and slow of heart to believe, but I've never read that as harsh. I've always just kind of read that as Jesus patting them on the head and going, oh, you're so cute. Like Jesus himself is walking with them and they don't recognize who he is until he's broken bread and disappeared. And And I think a lot of times we do that. We don't recognize what's happening until it's gone. And it's a spiritual gift sometimes, I think, to be able to see what's happening in the world and in our hearts while it's happening. So this is just my invitation to pay attention to that, even if it's really hard sometimes. And maybe every now and then we'll catch a glimpse of Jesus breaking bread before he disappears. Let's pray. God, how often do we miss you? Please open our eyes and our hearts to where you are with us in the road, so we may know your presence with us and your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the Reformed tradition, we respond to hearing the word of God with an offering. And that isn't just about money. If you sense God inviting you to respond to God's word read in the scripture, or God's word preached in the sermon in any way, I invite you to hold your hands palms up as a sign that you are offering your obedience to God. Another way we respond to the word is by giving tithes and offerings. If you are mailing a check, please hold it in an open hand. If you are giving online through your bank, retirement account, or the Give Now link on this page, please put a hand on your computer or hold your cell phone up before God, or some other physical gesture, posture to symbolize online giving. If you are unable to give at this time, or if this is not the week you give financially, you may also hold your hands, palms up, as a sign that you are giving yourself to God, who has given us everything. Now let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the way you take care of us, that in life and in death, we belong to you. We offer these gifts for your service and the work of your kingdom, and ask that you would guide their use to those ends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My apologies, I was trying to get the live streaming running up for those who are not able to actually stream live. And I'm going to take another couple of minutes, so we will just continue. Right. Another kind of offering that we give, besides obedience and financial support and offering of ourselves, is an offering of joys, or what they used to call testimonies, sharing the good things that God has done for us, and an offering of trust by sharing the challenges that we face, sharing those before God and one another. So what offerings of joy or trust do you bring this morning? You can text them to the number on your screen or leave a voicemail, but if you haven't done that already, you should know that they may be delayed until next week. But if you do it now, you might be okay. Where's that? Okay. Just loading that up. I got a message from Ernie Lewis. Mary Bartels just called. As soon as she's ready, he's going to take her to the emergency room because her doctor's afraid of the possibility of her having a heart attack. She's at risk for coronavirus because of medical history and such. She was told by the doctor to stay home. She needs prayers for heart, kidney, and lung issues. As I just said, the doctor's concerned she might have a heart attack. So continue praying for Mary. Um, Eloise Gunderson's niece, Polly Erickson's in the hospital with the coronavirus too. Her sister can't go in and see her, so she doesn't know all the details. This is up in Muskegon. She has fibromyalgia and a compromised immune system and works in a care home. So pray for Polly. Vicky sends special prayers for those who are alone during lockdown. Yeah. And those who are unemployed with no savings. Yes, very much so. Another invitation I would give is if you look in the bulletin and flip through the announcement section, if you see someone who shouldn't be in there anymore, some perhaps someone who's recovered or just doesn't need to be in the bulletin in our prayer request list anymore, send a text to the number on your screen so we can celebrate their recovery or continue to pray for their family, things like that, or email to office@fairplanepc.com. I am grateful for a few things. I'm grateful to God for granting me a session that opted to lighten my workload some. Linda sent me a message that her niece Brianna and her husband Joe, and Joe Alcala welcomed baby Julian Rice on Monday. I saw a photo, but we don't have permission from the parents to share it. But I can assure you, cute. Gonna check and see if I've got any other prayer requests. It looks like we do. Or no, we don't. Then let's pray. God, we thank you for the good gifts that you've given us. We thank you for session lightening my workload. We thank you for new babies being born into the world. We thank you for sunshine today and the weather finally slowly warming up a little bit. And there's so many things that need your attention. We pray for Mary as she's about to go to the emergency room. We pray especially for those who are alone during the lockdown and those who are unemployed at this difficult time. We pray for Polly, who's in the hospital for the coronavirus, and for everyone who's in the hospital for whatever reason and can't be seen by their families who love them and are worried about them. We pray for all those in authority who are making difficult decisions at this time. We ask that you'll give them wisdom to follow the advice of people who know what they're doing rather than caving to people who think we should reopen early. We ask that you'll give them guidance to make the best decisions for public health and also to take care of those who might be really struggling if they're not able to go to work and need to. God, this is such a hard time right now, and we ask for your care and your kind attention, that you'll hold us and those we love and everyone in your arms, and that, unlike the disciples on the road to Emmaus, maybe we'll be able to sense it a little bit. God, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to join in hymn number 391, Take My Life, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
We moved the passing of the peace to the end of the virtual worship service so you can share Christ's peace with fewer limitations, like piano players interrupting your passing of the peace. After we sing Go Now in Peace together, I invite you to share Christ's peace with at least three people that you care about, whether by phone call or by text message or however you prefer to reach them, smoke signals, video calls, whatever. So, may the peace of the Lord be with you all. Now may you know Christ's living presence everywhere you go before Christ disappears in these glorious moments. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all from this day forward and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.
Steadfast, strong, and true.